Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Getting the Affordable Care Act up and running was one of the biggest challenges and accomplishments of the Obama administration. President-elect Donald Trump vowed completely to repeal Obamacare during the campaign, however, and has since said he would consider a plan that keeps in place some provisions. But Republicans on Capitol Hill have voted dozens of times to weaken or repeal Obamacare. And now, with majorities in Congress and a Republican president, they have the votes to do it. Still, an estimated 100,000 people rushed to sign up for Obamacare the day after the election a few weeks ago. And record numbers are expected to join before the enrollment period ends in January. With repeal coming, the bigger question is, what will this mean for millions of Americans who couldn't get insurance before the ACA, and how Republicans will replace it if they get rid of it? Sylvia Matthews-Burwell is Secretary of Health and Human Services. She says consumers need to realize what's at stake.
The reality is that 20 million Americans have health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. The reality is over 120 million Americans have pre-existing conditions that, if you repeal the Affordable Care Act, your ability to get health insurance can go away. For many Americans, their children are on their plan up to 26. And for most Americans, they think it's a good idea and don't want to go back to a world where they have to pay for certain preventative care, things like precancer screenings, vaccinations, wellness visits for your children. These are the benefits that are across the entire population.
President-elect Trump himself has suggested there may be parts of this that people like, but he's not the first. There have been Republicans throughout this debate who have acknowledged the very popular parts of Obamacare. So then the question becomes, what does replace look like? And I know you don't get a vote, but if Republicans who are now going to be running the show want to keep something that people like, for instance, the idea that you can't be denied for a pre-existing condition, what does the insurance reality, the policy reality, look like if they're going to get rid of the idea that you have to have insurance?
The reality is that unless you offer help or assistance, the subsidies that exist, the tax credits that exist, there isn't a way to take care of pre-existing conditions. And I think that's one of the things when I say the reality needs to set in, that there are pieces of this that are interconnected and you can't have one without the other. Someone mentioned to me the game Jenga the other day, and when you pull one piece out, the tower falls. And so if you select what you want to keep, by selecting that, you're actually selecting many other pieces and parts. And I think it's, from our perspective, important to focus on, we've stated there are improvements that can be made. And when we think about improvements or when we think about replacement, I think the standard that the American people should use is a standard of, what does it do to access, the number of people insured? What does it do to affordability, what it costs for people to pay for their insurance, and what it costs the American taxpayer? And third, what does it do for quality? I think for many Americans, and many women certainly, the question of, is contraception covered without an additional copay, isn't a nitty-gritty detail. It's an important fact that they want to know in terms of their coverage.
The new president ran explicitly on an agenda of repeal. Republicans now do have the votes to repeal, regardless of what they do to replace. This can't be an easy time.
You know, I think the assumption of disintegration, the assumption that all this is going away, this is in the fabric of the nation. The American people accept, if you ask anyone now, is it okay to keep you off your health insurance if you have asthma, if you have allergies, if you have diabetes, if you know someone who's had cancer? The answer to that is no. And it's a complicated system. When you said that this was a triumph for Democrats, it was a triumph for the nation. Go back to Teddy Roosevelt over 100 years ago in our nation, and you'll see him talking about the issue of universal access to health care in our country. Go through president after president, Republican and Democrats.
I appreciate the fabric statement, but this could have gone a different way, and it's not the way that so many people had hoped. I mean, Republicans do have the votes, whether it's politically smart or not, whether they want to pull the thread on the fabric or not, they do have the votes to repeal this. And it is their project.
In leading the department and the effort that we are leading, you know, what is my job and my role is to focus on what we do and what we can do. And right now, the most important thing for us is to make sure that we have a successful open enrollment, build on the success and the progress we've made in terms of reducing the number of uninsured, and make sure as many people as possible start that movement from the rhetoric to the reality of what this means and how this works. So many people use it as a shorthand. And when people say Obamacare, but then you ask them the specific questions, up to 26, pre-existing conditions, help and financial assistance for working Americans to get their coverage and pay their premiums. These are not things that people want to go away. As a matter of fact, people perhaps need more premium assistance. We're working on short-term solutions to cost in the system and long-term solutions. And here at HHS, we've committed that Medicare payments, 30%, will be made on not fee-for-service, but for the quality of service. And we are moving so that by 2018, 50% of those will be that way.
You stepped up to the plate for one last slogan, since you're knocking down slogans today, voucher. And the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, talking about long-term projects, has a long-term project to transform Medicare to premium support. He also has the votes to do that and has already made signals that in the new Congress, in addition to all of these changes about Obamacare repeal that we've been talking about, that Medicare may fundamentally change and may change into a program where seniors are given a certain amount of money and then sent onto the marketplace. That's the Ryan vision. And he has the votes to do it.
You know, it's interesting. That's a vision that's the same as the marketplace for others. That is what the marketplace is. I think the question of changing Medicare fundamentally, 50 years ago when the program was designed, it was designed to make sure that we provide financial and health security for our seniors in this country. To take that away is something that I think will be highly concerning to the American people.
Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Burwell, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.